Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, joined here by my co-host,
Ryan Schwenk, the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right, so I know we've been going pretty hard on competitive, and there's been a lot of exciting things happening in competitive Pioneer right now, but we're going to take a little bit of a step back from that. You know, not a complete step back, but we're going to try and wrap up a series we've been doing for a while here on the show, what we've been calling the Plains of Pioneer. And the purpose of what we've been really doing when we started this is that Pioneer is such an interesting format where the power level is relatively the same across a bunch of different sets. So you really get to take the archetypes of a set and see them played in a competitive deck. Whereas something, you know, older like Modern, it's only going to care about maybe the top one to two most powerful cards from a set. Whereas with Pioneer, it's a little bit more consistent. You can actually play synergies if they're there. You can see how the designers really wanted these cards to be played. So what we're really doing is we're taking a look a little bit Vorthos, a little bit into the flavor, and we're trying to go through some of the old sets and say, hey, what does this plane bring to Pioneer? You know, what are the cards from the sets that they're in? What are the mechanics? You know, kind of the archetypes that we're getting. And then, you know, we also kind of saying like, okay, if we ever go back there in the future, what would we like to see more of out of this plane? So we've done most of the planes so far. We're kind of coming just to the end here with a biggie, which is Ravnica.
Yeah, and I just want to say real quick that this will probably be the last one because I think we've covered everything that actually had like a block or a set, and everything afterwards is kind of like a one-off, you know, like Eldraine and whatnot. So we probably won't revisit them.
Plus, just about everything after this we've done a set review on, so we've kind of already gone through and said, you know, these are the big cards. You know, I wouldn't mind revisiting some of those sometimes, saying like, hey, now that we're 2 years into the future, what were actually the good cards from M20? Yeah. But, you know, this is still a great thing, and
that'll be the evolution Ravnica. Of this.
Ravnica.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ravnica's big, a lot of cards. During Return to Ravnica, that was like one of my favorite standard blocks, you know, playing that, you know, those cards. You said you started afterwards, though, or was that before?
Yeah, you know, I restarted playing more like Khan's block. But okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people did appreciate, at the time, you know, Return to Ravnica felt like a very powerful block. Mm-hmm. I feel like now, in retrospect, it hasn't been. Like, I don't feel like there's a ton of cards here that are impactful in Pioneer. You know, even looking at all of the six Ravnica sets that we're looking at, there were very few banned cards up until this week, or, you know, last couple weeks ago, where we got a few cards banned out that were all from Ravnica block sets. But
I had to totally redo my favorite card list.
Yeah, so should we start by just quick calling out, like, War of the Spark is kind of an awkward one because it's a plain, you know, it was a set that took place on Ravnica, but it's not really a Ravnica set.
There's some cards that are kind of have the flavor of the Ravnica guilds, and others are kind of more like the, it's like a mixture of Ravnica and Amonkhet.
Yeah, there's some Amonkhet on there, there's some, you know, just all of the planeswalkers, all of the battling, like it's a little bit of a weird set. So we're going to focus a little bit less on that set, also because that's just a very ridiculously high-powered set. Yeah. If we're going to talk about, you know, the best cards coming from these six sets, I think a lot of them would come from War of the Spark. So we're going to try and step back from that just a little bit so that we're not spending all of our time on
just that. Just a few notables, probably.
Yeah. So anyone who doesn't know, let's start with Ravnica, just a little bit of a background. So Ravnica is the City of Guilds. It is one plane that the entire plane is a giant sprawling city, and it's held together by a bunch of agreements between these 10 guilds, you know, sort of nine. There's this whole thing where Dimir didn't actually exist in the original Ravnica, or at least it was hiding in the shadows. People weren't supposed to know about it. But really, these 10 guilds, so they're two-color pairings, and they're like really strong two-color pairings. This was when the first Ravnica came out, which was not in Pioneer, that was one of the first, you know, real two-color pairing sets. And then revisiting it in Return to Ravnica really strengthened that. It was a great multicolor set, and that's continued through Pioneer. So what we want to look at is how those two-color pairings really go together, and those are the guilds.
So let's go over the names and the colors. And do you want to go Vorthos on this? You want to tell us a little bit about the guilds?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not going the hardest on Vorthos. Like, there's nothing that I'm like, oh man, it's crazy. You guys don't know about blank. I feel like, you know, most people know something about most of these.
So maybe you can just...
And they're pretty straightforward. So like, so here, I'm going
to... How about this? I don't know what order. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear this guild's name?
Okay, go ahead.
Does that sound good? Okay, so for example, green-white is Celestia.
Yep.
What do you think about when you hear the word Celestia?
So growth, token, knight, you know.
Okay, yeah. For me, it's tokens. I think number one, tokens.
Yeah, so green-white tokens, you know. I feel like it's almost one of these things where, like, Ravnica did a bunch of things that Magic has now ensconced as, like, part of what is always supposed to be those color pairings. Like, a lot of people think about, oh, there's going to be, you know, a green-black deck in a limited format, and they look at what worked for Golgari on Ravnica. Mm. And that tends to really be things. So, like, green-white tokens, green-white go wide is very much now part of green-white's just storied history. Mm. It is something I'm pretty excited about with the upcoming new set, in that it's supposed to be, you know, it is color pairings, so it's enemy color pairings like blue-red, but they're not going the same way. They're specifically trying to go a different way than how Is It went with blue-red. So this sounds like they're looking at the differences rather than how those two combine. So I guess I'll throw out blue-red next. You know, Is It?
Well,
that's usually spells. It's mm-hmm. it's
yeah, definitely spells. Yeah, I mean, is it spells? Combo, I think. Some weird combo.
Oh, do you want to go deeper? Do you want to go through the
mechanics? I mean, yeah, did you want to do that as well? That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, I mean, Celestia, they had Populate and Convoke. You know, neither of those brings, like, a deck to it, but both of them are token things. Both of them show up occasionally.
Yeah, Populate is you make a copy, I think, of another token, and then Convoke just lets you tap creatures to cast something.
Yep.
Makes it cheaper. Okay, so you wanted to do Is It next, you said?
Yeah, because you messed up my order, so I'm going to mess up your order. Yeah, I just happened to mention Is It Next. You know, they had Overload, they had Jumpstart. I think Jumpstart did pretty well. That one was kind of cool. There was a few cards that got played from that. Nothing that's too heavy in Pioneer, but we do see a few of them show up.
Yeah, I think those are both kind of cards, or both mechanics that kind of showed up in Standard a lot, but not so much in Pioneer. Like, they're really
good. Yeah, we see the occasional Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely Is It, like you said, some more like spells, instant heavy combos, you know, burn, maybe like that sort of stuff.
Combinations.
My turn next.
Yep.
Azorius, which is blue white. Sorry, Azorius. I don't know. Sorry. What's the correct way to say it?
Yeah, I say Azorius, but you guys always you never like my pronunciations. So.
So they had. So what springs to mind when you hear the word Azorius?
I mean, control, pretty much.
Counter spells?
Yeah.
Or tap something, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and again, like, these are common blue-white themes. Like, you know, maybe they don't have the Flyers theme, but it is a common blue-white theme to be that kind of controlling life gain.
So
play spells, counter spells.
I actually had to look up the mechanics because they're so bad.
Yeah, they weren't the best. So Detain and Addendum, neither of which saw much play.
No, they saw zero play, I would believe, right?
Yeah.
There's
some Detain card, but yeah.
Detain is like tap something and it doesn't untap, I think? Or it can't...
It can't do anything for a turn.
Okay, like it says it can't attack a block or activate abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Addendum was if you cast something on your turn, you get like a special effect.
Yeah, they're instants that if you main phase them, they have an additional effect.
Yeah, so, not exciting.
Yeah, man.
Okay, your turn, next.
All right, since you talked about pronunciations, you know, there's the black-white one, and you kind of have to pronounce it like you're Sean Connery. You have to say Orzhov.
Is it Orzhov?
I think it's supposed to be Orzhov, yeah.
I said Orzhov, but okay.
Yeah, I know, that's how it's spelled, but I've heard it, you know, Orzhov.
That sounds like the bourgeois pronunciation of Orzhov.
Bougie.
Going all bougie on us.
Yeah, exactly. So black white, Orzhov, they've got Extort and Afterlife.
Okay.
You know,
so Afterlife is you get like a token when a creature dies, and Extort was pay mana to drain.
Every time you cast a black or white spell, you can play black or white and drain for one.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, ghosts and spirits, and that's kind of what
kill
they do.
Spells as well, I think. Kind of anti I want to say it's anti-enchantment. You know, I always think like Mortify, you know, those types of cards and stuff like that. Also bringing stuff back from the graveyard, you know, or using your graveyard as a, how can I say, as a resource kind of, but not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think people mostly think back to the original Ravnica with the goat. Oh, no, that was, that wasn't.
Obsidat, you mean?
With Flashback. Yeah, but, you know, Obsidat's not yet another thing that
the ghost people stuff.
Think of.
Yeah,
ghosts, Kai ghost is
really,
consoles.
Really powerful, and or not powerful, but popular in Orzhov now as well.
Yeah, she kind of weaseled her way in there somehow.
All right, so how about Dimir next?
So Dimir, you know, rogues and sneaky things, and yeah, that one definitely, I do think feel like a lot of these are evocative, and that's a very strong thing from the sets that, you know, they've done really well, and I do think that you think about blue black, and I feel like it kind of fits in with Pioneer. Their mechanics somewhat. So the Return to Ravnica set gave them Cypher, which we see show up in one case, but, you know, not really. It's not really something people think about. That's the one where when you cast a spell, you can put it on a creature, and then when that creature deals damage to a player, you can cast that spell again. There's one Cypher spell that sees a lot of play, but no one actually ever ciphers it, so it doesn't quite count.
It's in Lotus Field, right? The Hidden Strings?
Yeah, that's the Hidden Strings, yeah.
But Surveil's nice.
So that trinket text on Hidden Strings that nobody uses. Surveil's nice. You know, putting cards in the graveyard. We see the Counterspell played. We see Thought Erasure played.
Yeah, pretty powerful. I like it. So yeah, Dimir, like you said, I when I think of Dimir, I think of discard. I think of Counterspells. I think of removal spells.
Yeah. I'm going to go to one of... I'm gonna call it my least favorite because it's one of my favorites. Boros. What do you think of when you hear Boros?
I think small, hasty attacking creatures.
Exactly. And I love the combination of red and white, but I wish that we saw more out of red and white than what is in Boros. Like, Boros is the part of red white that I hate because it's always terrible. I love the, like, slow controlling red white decks, and that's what I'm hoping we get in this next set coming out.
Like,
but, Boros, it's go wide, it's go small. It's lose to one sweeper and cry.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite cards from Boros was Assemble the Legions, which is like the 5 mana enchant that like keeps on putting tokens into play each turn, and you get like double, triple. You just get more and more. It's insane. I love those types of cards, but like you said,
yeah, it's like 1/1/1 haste, and then 2/1/1 haste, and then 3/1/1 haste,
and then it's like, but they don't have cards like that in red white. Everything is really tiny, you know.
Yeah, and if they do, when they do print those, they don't print the support for them. So,
and as far as,
you know, Wizards doesn't print things for white. We know how it goes.
So their mechanics are Mentor and Battalion.
Yeah, both pretty cool. You know, neither saw a lot of play just because they've kind of made red white not very playable. But other than, you know, very limited situations, I'm excluding the fact that, you know, people are probably screaming like, hey, red white aggro is one of the most popular decks. It's a red deck that has like one white card in it. That's not red white aggro.
Yeah, so Mentor cards, sorry, power gets bigger. Sorry, if you attack with a creature that has Mentor, it makes another smaller creature slightly bigger. It gives it a +1/+1 counter. And Battalion was, if you attacked with three, you get some type of special effect.
Yeah, and mostly the one that I think of is the Legion Loyalist that gives them all like
trample,
first strike, trample, and can't be blocked by tokens.
Love it. It's good. My turn next.
Yeah.
Let's do Rakdos. I really like Rakdos. You know, we had Arcanist as our topic of, you know, our deck topic last week. So when you think of Rakdos, what comes to mind?
Yeah, so Rakdos, you know, I think about death. I think about sacrifice. I think about, like, self-pain, you know, kind of the suicide black. You know, the original mechanic, Unleash, you know, made bigger creatures that couldn't block and sacrificing their own things, taking damage themselves. Those are all kind of things that I think of with Rakdos especially.
Yeah. So kind of the same thing. A lot of sacrifice effects. When something dies, something happens. And like you said, pain. So Spectacle was the other mechanic from this set, which I think is probably one of the better ones. So
yeah, that one's got a lot of ones that see play. You know, Light Up the Stage. Yeah. We see the Skewer sometimes. Yeah. The black one. See the Demons, he's playing black.
Yeah, Demons is another big thing. I think there's a lot of Demons in black and red. All All right.
Yeah, Rakdos was a cool demon. I was going with Simic next. You know, I think a lot of people recently have complained about green-blue being very powerful, but I think that historically it was by far the least powerful color combination. You know, they just could not print playable cards in green-blue, and when they even when they did, it didn't have removal, so they had no way to actually play games. And they've done a good job of fixing that. Obviously went a little far with things like Oko and Uro and all the cards surrounding them. But I think that, you know, when we're looking back at Ravnica, this is still like classic Simic. Doing fun things, growing big, getting weird creature combinations, all the fun things that Simic is supposed to do. That's what this color combination really does well. As far as how we translate that into Pioneer, I feel like the, you know, the put counters on things and have weird creature types didn't translate as well as like picking and choosing some of the good cards from it, but
I want to say it's kind of like a pioneer in the multiple creature type department. You know what I mean? Like before, I mean, everything was just like one type. Sometimes you get two types, and now you get like three types. You know, especially from the new Guilds of Ravnica sets.
Bird mutants, crab turtle crocodiles.
There we go.
Elf, crab warriors, all that stuff. Yep.
So yeah, like you said, putting counters on stuff. They had Evolve. Whenever you put something bigger in play, it gets a counter. And the other one was Adapt, which lets you pay a cost to put counters on something, and then some effect happens. So a couple good cards from there, but maybe not something, like you said, that's good enough for Pioneer.
Yeah, we see a little bit of it, but I don't think that Scales has been very good recently, and Blue-Green never was the combination color combination that really got there.
The Terramander, I want to say, is maybe a decent card. That's kind of more of a tier 3 casual, you know, mono blue tempo decks sort of thing, but
yeah, I suppose so. And I always think of that almost more of a blue red card
that
for some reason, but I guess it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Phoenix ever is a thing again.
So we got two left, I think. Yeah. More green ones. You were ignoring the green for some reason.
I have them in order, just in your different order. So yeah, Gruul's the next one.
Oh, your order. Red green.
So what's your take on Gruul?
You know, Gruul Smash.
Yep.
Classic big creatures, big, fast, dumb things.
Yeah, so things that hit really hard. I think
that's done an okay job translating into Pioneer.
I'm also kind of thinking it's kind of like anti-artifacts, anti-enchantments, kind of anti-technology sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
And they have Riot and Blood Rush. So Riot was, you can choose a haste or a +1/+1 counter for a creature when it comes into play. And Blood Rush was kind of like instant speed effect. Right?
Yeah, so that one you can like discard the card to do an effect rather than playing it as a creature.
You get like a plus two.
We see the like red green one every once in a while that gives like +4/+4 trample.
Mm-hmm.
Not very often, but it's shown up a non-zero amount.
And then the other, we have one more one, right? One more green one?
We've got Golgari.
So Golgari, definitely it's heavy with the graveyard, putting stuff into the graveyard, and then having some effect depending on how many cards you have in the graveyard. That's my thoughts when it comes to Golgari.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And they don't really have that. Their mechanics aren't that good, I think. We had
there's some struggle there.
So Scavenge is like you exile a card and then you get counters? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you exile the creature card from your graveyard and you get counters equal to
its power,
whatever the number is.
Yeah. And then the other one was Undergrowth, and that's the one where, depending on how many cards you have in your graveyard, some effect happens.
Yeah, and that one felt like a really poorly managed mechanic.
Yeah.
Like, that definitely could be a very cool mechanic. They just didn't put it on any good cards.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, so you ready to jump into some of the best cards from each guild? Maybe just...
Yeah, you know, best are like most kind of influential cards, and we don't have to go too deep here. You know, I don't want this to take another hour.
But just
like, what were you thinking of? And your order was a mess. I don't know what order you were going with.
What order do you want to do? We'll follow your order.
I've got Azorius first.
All right, so you go first. Just tell me what Azorius cards you think are the best in Pioneer.
Supreme Verdict, Azorius Charm, and then I have Detention Sphere /Deputy of Detention.
Okay. Can you just want to explain real quick? your choices.
Control card's good. Go Burr. I mean, like, kind of the classic, just blue control. Supreme Verdict is kind of best in its class. Doesn't end if anything else, it does the same thing. And that's really the big one. And that card's good enough that it gets you to play things like Azorius Charm.
Okay. Yeah, I actually totally went a different way on my Azorius picks. So, yes, your Supreme Verdict is the de facto best, board wipe, I think, in the entire format still. Sphinx Revelation is still a really good card. I think that could see play in the future. Absorb, I think, is really good. That's something you didn't really mention. Like, I'd rather have Absorb on my list than Azorius Charm, get life and counter something. And
I
was going to say, and one more, my honorable mention would be Dovin's Veto.
Dovin's Veto is a really good one. That's a good, that might be better than Dimension Sphere. I wanted to go not all control, so I didn't include that one. But yeah, that probably sees a lot more play as a nice sideboard card.
So I'm kind of disappointed we don't see more Detention Sphere play. So
it's a little slow.
Yeah.
And white doesn't get removal. So
depends on if you have a lot of the same name cards as well.
Yeah, and maybe a few of the white removal spells will see more play more. We'll see more play now. I think that in a world of Teferi, it was not very good to be playing anything that was white removal because they bounce it and it's gone.
Yeah. And that was on my list, but it's not anymore because it was banned.
Yes, obviously Teferi would be on our list, but he got banned.
Right, so what is your next?
No longer part of the conversation.
What's the next one?
Izzet is what I've got next.
Okay, so you can tell me your list real quick, and then I'll say if I agree or disagree.
All right, Izzet, was tough. I did say Izzet Charm. I did say Niv-Mizzet, the red, blue one, and I said Expansion Explosion.
Okay, so are you pretty much just going over, like, the Izzet cards, like the blue, the gold cards only?
I've got a few that are non-gold. Okay. I had, like, Cyclonic Rift is maybe an extra mention because it had the mechanic, but I wasn't including, like, I do have some cards that I'm going to include as kind of the best of everything else. So, like, I've got Phoenix on my list, Arclight Phoenix. I don't consider that to be an Izzet card because it doesn't have an Izzet mechanic, doesn't have the Izzet.
I think it's, but it's definitely, I have it as one of my Izzet cards because it's based on casting spells. You need it to cast a lot of spells to get it back from the graveyard.
That's fair. I would have included it if it counted.
Yeah, so I definitely counted it as an Izzet card. I also think Dreadheart Arcanist is kind of an Izzet card. It's like flashing back stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it mostly sees play with black cards, but it does kind of have a more blue-red.
It's a wizard, right?
I don't know.
It's a zombie wizard.
Is it not?
Yeah, so it's flashing stuff back. Yeah, so I definitely, I mean, I'm going, like I said, my stuff is a little bit less, how can I say? It's a little bit more subtle, as far as, like, is it card or not? But yeah, Arclight.
Okay. And I did have that included on my non-guild inclusions. Because, especially if you're thinking guilds, this is an enemy of the guilds. It's a zombie. It's part of the, Bolas's army here.
Yeah, but it still acts
like, I feel like flavor, there's no way.
Okay.
You got to respect the flavor.
So yeah, Arclight Phoenix, Dreadheart Arcanist I had on my list. I also had Runaway Steamkin I thought was a good card. I kind of see that as a card that, you want to keep casting a lot of spells with. So that, like, I saw that
that's
as
a cool
Izzet.
One. Hasn't been good recently, but I think it's a cool card.
Yeah, cool card. And then Possibility Storm was like one of my honorable mentions I thought we should mention.
Yeah, I've got that honorable mention. I definitely don't see that as an Izzet card, but
you're casting, it's chaotic. It's like Experimental Frenzy. You know what I mean? That's how, like, I saw, Possibility Storm.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Did you have any?
Although now that's more of Tybalt's thing, so maybe that's black red.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say out of Izzet, or do you want to move on to the next one?
That's probably good. I've got Rakdos next.
Okay, what are your cards?
See, I don't know if you can tell the order we're going in.
Red cards? No. Blue? No.
Just how they were in the first Ravnica set that we've got
here. Okay.
So Rakdos I had a little bit of trouble with. I said, I did say Light Up the Stage, but kind of had as an honorable mention because it has a mechanic. It definitely counts. I said Dreadbore. I said Mayhem Devil. Mm. I said Slaughter Games.
Yeah, yeah. I think Slaughter Games is probably, it's a good sideboard card. Maybe one of the honorable mentions.
Yeah, like that and Rakdos Return both like see play as nice anti-control cards, but.
Yeah, Dreadbore definitely. I love Dreadbore.
I feel like we should probably call out, maybe this should have been a much earlier call out, but one reason why I think that a lot of these cards see play where they might not otherwise is because the five color Niv-Mizzet cares about these two color combinations mm-hmm. specifically.
Yeah. Because you get different color combinations. So you kind of have to have a good card for each color combination, correct?
Yeah, more or less. And you don't want three color combinations because they don't
yeah.
count.
Yeah. One more honorable mention. I mean, my list is pretty much the same, but another honorable mention I thought we should talk about is Krya the Carnarian, which I kind of like because of the exile effect. I don't know if -2 is doing anything in the format now, though.
It's yeah, there's times where it's good, there's times where it's not, but it is technically a Rakdos card. It does say Carnarian.
Yeah.
Unless if it's the Rakdos members that are crying.
Yeah.
But of the two mana sweepers, it's probably the best. Otherwise, it was what? Drown in
Sorrow?
Well,
it's three mana. Yeah. One. But yes.
Yeah, or yeah. -2/-2 yeah. ones. Golgari is what I've got next.
Okay, what's on your list?
I said Assassin Trophy / Abrupt Decay, mm-hmm. But I said Vraska, and then I was trying to figure out a third. I think it's either between Deathrite Shaman or like Casualties of War.
See, Deathrite Shaman's never seen any play.
I think it might be okay yeah. right now. I think in some ways it got better right now. I am looking at it.
I want it to be good. I'm not saying it's a bad card. I'm saying I want it to be good. It just has never seen any play in Pioneer. And it seems like...
I mean, it's shown up as a one of in like Niv lists. It's been around just a little bit, but yeah, it's been pretty scarce. Yeah.
So I totally agree. Same thing. Trophy, a decay, great removal cards, Casualties of War. That's more of one of my like honorable mentions, I think, because you know that shows up in Niv, I think, in the sideboard.
Yeah, occasional sideboard.
In Vraska, we're talking about the 4 mana one, right?
Golgari yeah, Queen. Definitely.
And I think another card.
Oh, I think the war one was also 4 mana, but yeah, not that one.
And I think we should probably mention Grisly Salvage is one of like the most efficient ways to put cards into your graveyard.
Yeah, I missed that was in the original set here.
Yeah, so instant two mana, you know, one red and one black, and then put 5, and then grab a creature or a land, I believe.
Yep, for Shizzle.
All right, next.
Next is Selesnya.
Ooh, should I go first this time?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I like Knight of Autumn. I think that's that shows up in Niv, and it's just a good hate bear card.
Yep, shows up in a lot of things.
So life or destroys a creature, or you know, put counters on
not creature, but enchantment yeah. or artifact. Or, yeah,
Voice of Resurgence is another really good card that shows up in Winota, I believe, and just a good way to kind of give control or tempo decks a headache. Mm-hmm.
And it's some weird Niv lists.
Yeah. And then also I have Rest in Peace, I think, is kind of a green-white effect, just because I was looking at the flavor, and like it says that Golgari and Orzhov won't let the souls sleep, so I'm guessing it would be green-white that makes, you know, everything to say, okay, you're done, your time on Earth is done, go away.
I suppose. That feels like a little bit of a stretch. I definitely consider that as a special mention that's not part of one of the guilds.
Okay.
For my third one, I was saying either the Loxodon or the Conclave Tribunal, one of those two convoke cards that sees a little bit of play.
Loxodon. Although
Conclave kind of sees play because it's bad.
I loved Loxodon. Yeah. Like, in Standard, Loxodon was really good. Like, they had like a...
Venerated Loxodon, yeah.
Or the Venerated... Oh, I thought you meant like the...
I was talking about Venerated Loxodon. Sorry, not Loxodon. Oh. I have been looking at the Loxodon Smiter recently because, like, man, all these Arcanist decks making me discard. I wonder if...
yeah.
But I don't think a vanilla 4-4 does quite enough.
Well, I mean, there's that, and then there's also the new one, the 6/6 that has Hexproof unless they pay 2 mana that whenever it's discarded you can, like, put into play, right? There's like 3 cards that Null Hive do that.
Ferox or something like that. Yeah, there's also the Changeling in the latest set.
I wanna play. Make me discard. You know what I mean? Like if the meta
play, I only beat
like if
Pyromancer and nothing
if
else.
If everybody's playing Kroxa, I wanna play Loxodon Smiter. But okay, free 4/4. You know what I mean? You're gonna Thassa's me free 6/6. Oh my god! I'm sorry. I'm gonna build that afterwards. Sorry, we can continue. So what's after Selesnya?
After Selesnya is Boros.
Okay. What's your Boros list?
So I said Boros Charm. That seems mm-hmm. like an obvious mm-hmm. one. I said Deafening Clarion. It's a huge yep. one for those more controlling ones. Exactly my kind of red-white card. And then Feather is okay. not hugely popular, but definitely plays as a deck. I think that it brings something to Pioneer that's not there otherwise.
Yeah, we had Feather was really big, I think, in Historic, and I think people were playing it for a while, and then recently the Boros Heroic deck has kind of evolved, and it doesn't play Feather anymore, I guess because it's playing the Arcanist instead. Or has it always played the Arcanist? I'm not sure. Do you know?
I'm not sure. It probably plays Lurrus now, and that's why it doesn't have
Okay. That's probably true. The other card that I would add to that list is 10th District Legionnaire, which is the kind of the heroic card for, I believe it's from Guilds of Ravnica, 2-2 haste, and whenever you target it with a spell, it gets +1/+1 counter and also lets you scry. So mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good.
You're wacky. I love it. Okay.
I mean, I've been playing that a lot in Historic, which is why I love it right now. Okay. Next. What's the next guild?
Next is Orzhov.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, I had some trouble with this one. I ended up saying a Cartel Aristocrat, D-Spark, and Oath of Kaya.
Mm.
Yeah, none of those are great, and none of those are super iconic, I feel like.
I think Oath is a good call. You know, it's in Poob, right? Or in Esper, Yorion.
Yeah, it's something that makes Black-White really good.
And I had Cruel Celebrants on mine. Would you consider...
Okay.
I mean, that...
So that's another Aristocrat card. Aristocrat's card. So that works, too.
That's basically what Black-White gives us in... How can I say? In Ravnica, or on the plane of Ravnica. It's the plane of aristocrats in the Orzhov area.
A little bit. Yeah, I like that. Dimir is next.
Actually, I had one more card I wanted to talk about just because I saw Claudio playing this in one of his newest builds of Niv-Mizzet, and that is Blood Baron of Viscopa. He had that in a sideboard.
That one has showed up a few times, yeah.
So it's like a 4/4 lifelink, protection black and white, and if you have 30 or more life, it gets +4/+4 in flying.
I think it's +6.
Oh, +6.
It's if you have 30 more life and your opponent has 10 or less. Yeah. So it usually only comes up. It doesn't really come up very much. That card has seen play occasionally when like mono black is very strong because you know we would see the Vampire's deck splashing white just to play that card because it can't lose once it hits the board in that matchup.
Yeah. Okay. So you said Dimir's next?
Dimir? Yeah, so I had a few here. I said Thought Erasure, that one's huge. I said maybe Ashiok from War is a nice one. I said maybe Hidden Strings if we count it. But I think Notion Thief was the other one I wanted to call
out. Yeah, Notion Thief's fun. Sideboard card, right? In Niv-Mizzet?
Yeah, sideboard card and a lot of things that can play
Steal people's draw or extra cards. I think Sinister...
Kind of a nice control mirror breaker.
Did you say Sinister Sabotage or not?
I didn't. You know, I had mentioned that earlier when we were talking about Surveil. That would be another good mention.
Yeah, I think that's a really solid card. And just because there's a everyone's been calling for the unbanning of Kethys, I kind of like Lazav the Multifarious is one of my honorable mentions, I just want to say.
I like how about you say everyone and you mean me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so the guy that can copy anything in the graveyard. So it's just, he's somebody to keep an eye on.
Oh yeah, always.
Lazav is interesting.
I was literally testing what it would look like.
You mean if
literally today
without Teferi? You mean
Kethys got unbanned?
Yeah,
yeah. Without Teferi and without Uro, so you know they were one of the best Uro decks. Going off tangent here, but you know they played all of the sides of it. You know they're milling themselves. They get the mana reduction on the front side. They need the life. They bring it back with Teshar. You know, they turn into it with Lazav. They had all kinds of nonsense with that card. But
Lazav kind of reminds me of the new Teferi, to be honest. Except, you know, with Lazav, you just get whatever's in the graveyard.
You mean the new Tybalt?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the new Tybalt, sorry.
Right, okay.
I said Teferi.
I got where you were coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you said Teferi.
Yeah, the new Tybalt. So, one exiles from the hand, one exiles from the graveyard.
Yep.
Okay, next...
Next up is green white Simic.
You said Simic is next?
Green blue. Green blue. Simic is next, yes. Okay.
So I'm interested in hearing your list because I kind of went, you know, I went more subtle on this one again.
I said Hydroid Crisis, Growth Spiral, and Tamio.
Okay. Yeah, I had Tamio in there as well. Tamio, does she see any play right now?
Not really. I was messing with her earlier, but not a lot.
I mean, I like that she put stuff in the graveyard. I think she was really good when we had, like, Nexus.
You know, yeah, maybe we'll see Nexus unbanned, too.
Yeah, so that's something, you know, grab your win condition. And then when you had Uro, I guess she was a lot better just because you could get that back from the graveyard. Maybe she's not going to be as good now.
Or maybe she'll be better. You know, Uro kind of took her spot.
Okay. I said Nissa Who Shakes the World was a Simic card just because she puts counters on stuff.
That's a stretch. I think Nissa Who Shakes the World is a broken card, but not specifically a Simic
one. You don't think so, but it puts counters on stuff, and it ramps, and she was a Simic card back in Amonkhet. Right?
Yeah, we could go back to Amonkhet. So that's an Amonkhet card, so it's not even a it's not even Ravnica.
But I'm saying Nissa Who Shakes the World. She was on Amonkhet before. Yeah, that's
still part of
right?
War of the Spark. It's on Ravnica. It's on Amonkhet. It's not on Ravnica.
Another one, Pelt Collector, I thought is kind of a Simic card because it's kind of like Experiment 1, which was a Simic card, but it's probably not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, they sometimes see play together, but yeah, that's...
I mean, yeah.
That's the thing.
It depends on the meta, I think, but yeah. Okay, so that's blue-green. Next one.
Gruul. Smash, smash, smash.
So I have Skullcrack, I thought is kind of a Gruul thing, which is really good.
That's a nice stretch. I like that.
You know, because, you know, it's some big, you know, stupid creature hitting someone else's head. And then Burning Tree Emissary, of course. You can't not have that on the list. And then after that, it's kind of hard. I would say Gruul Spellbreaker.
Yeah, I kind of hit Burning Tree Emissary and then scratched my head a bit. I've got it currently laying sort of empty. Mm-hmm. They didn't get much from, I think, either of these sets.
So you don't think Gruul Spellbreaker is really that good?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't see much play, but it could be okay, I guess.
If Gruul's any good in the future, yeah.
If Gruul got any good, yeah.
All right, I think that's it, right?
Because there was... Which one's the good Domri? Okay, so the good Domri is from War of the Spark, so probably that Domri would be my third pick.
Okay, so out of all the Domris, he's the best one, you think?
The 3-mana one that has the passive, yeah.
The one that, you know, that can't be countered if you use the plus effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I think, you know, that was most of our guilds. And you said you had a lot on your non-guilds that you wanted to talk about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was going to run through some non-guild stuff. So, like, everything in War, like all the Planeswalkers, I don't want to run through them individually. I think that they're all pretty broken or good or like, you know, they see a lot of play. I don't feel like they bring a lot of Ravnica spirit, so I'm kind of leaving them out. The only one I really want to call out being totally not part of a guild was Karn the Great Creator.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I had Priest of the Forgotten Gods.
Mm-hmm. Priest of the Forgotten Gods.
I had Packrat.
Priest of the Forgotten Gods and Packrat. Packrat seems like it's a Golgari card to me because it's like, you know, the Undercity.
Okay.
And then, like, Priest of the Forgotten Gods with the Sacrifice kind of seems like a Rakdos or maybe an Orzhov card.
Maybe, yeah. I have Blast Zone.
Yes.
I think is a huge one.
Yes, good card.
And then here's a common that might have slipped through your list. Did you have Ethereal Armor on your list?
No, but is that seeing play on the Heroic deck now?
Oh.
Or the Auras?
Absolutely, and the both the Auras decks. Yeah, that's such a critical part to that.
Yeah, so definitely good card then. Narset is another card that really doesn't fit in anywhere. I think she's kind of Jeskai, if anything. But she's from War of the Spark. And also Thespian Stage.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
Gatescrash, I want to say. So it's part of Lotus combo. You definitely need that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, how about Bola Citadel? That was also on my list.
Yeah, I think Bola Citadel and Statue of the... Or what is it? Gunfarrow Statue both could fit.
Mm-hmm. And anything else? I guess one more thing that I thought we should probably mention. The Fuse cards, are those... Would you say those are Boros... Or no, sorry. Would you say those are Guild cards, though?
The ones that are like three colors?
Well, the Fuse ones. Are they three colors? Like the hybrid? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, those ones are usually three colors. I think they're all three colors.
Really? I'm trying to think, you know, like there's one that destroyed an artifact.
So like Beck and Call, green, blue is and green, white.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that stuff, I think, just worth a mention.
No. Okay. Yeah. Those are cool.
All right. So we got through all these cards. Now let's kind of talk about archetypes. So using all these archetypes and whatnot, what kind of decks do you think are only viable because of cards from Ravnica Black?
I'm going to keep it pretty brief.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing I really want to say is we haven't talked enough about how the Shocklands are still the best dual color land we have.
Yeah.
And they are only and truly from Ravnica.
Yeah.
So that's what Ravnica brings for me, is they bring the Shocklands and then maybe a couple of cards and then War of the Spark being broken. But I don't feel like overall, I don't feel like Ravnica brings quite as much as maybe some of the other sets, you know. Even when we were going through some of the core sets, I thought that maybe they brought a little bit more.
Okay, so I'm going to totally disagree with you and say that,
okay, go for it.
You know, Ravnica is very important to the Pioneer formats. So, of course, you know, we talked about Azorius Control. A lot of good counter spells. The Supreme Verdict, Revelation, you know, all those cards are good. You can't have black-red art.
Revelation's not any good.
No. What'd you say?
Revelation's not really any good right now.
Well, I'm just saying it's a card in...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Arcanist can't really... If there's no Arcanist, we don't have Black-Red Arcanist as an archetype, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an important card. I think Burn, like Boros Burn, you know, with Boros Charm, light up the stage, and, you know, skewer the critics and stuff like that, kind of important as well. Those kind of give the reach that the deck needs. And like I said earlier about Heroic, you know, with Feather, you know, again, Arcanist and Legionnaire and Strike. And then the biggest one, I think, is Mono Green Planeswalkers. You know, they have both Karn the Creator and Nissa Who Shakes the World from the Plains of Ravnica here that, you know, you wouldn't be able to play that deck without either of them.
So I don't feel like you disagreed. There's a bunch of broken stuff in War of the Spark, and that's mostly what you mentioned.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I think that covers pretty much everything that I wanted to talk about. You want to wrap this up? Maybe you have some, you know, two final questions before we end it?
Yeah, you know, I don't have much else. I think that I'd be fine wrapping it up. As far as, you know, just real quick, is there anything huge that you want to see when we go back? Like, for me, I think that I am excited about, you know, we started to see, like, those Bond cards. It was like Bond of Flourishing, where it's like, oh, Simic and Golgari are working together to do something.
Mm.
So I'm interested to see what the future is for Ravnica, because I think just playing the guild straightforward has been a little bit played out. If we go back there, I kind of want to see what more they have to offer.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, like you said, seeing, like, the two guilds joining together and maybe seeing, like, a few... three mana cards, you know, like a, you know, maybe Gruul and Celestia working together to bring nature back, and they have some Naya cards as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe something like that. And I think also I want white to just be a little bit better. You know, blue has always seemed to get a lot of good stuff. I want better Boros cards. I want better Celestia cards.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't mind getting some better Orzhov cards as well. So I just feel like white's been getting a bum rap recently. So I guess my final question then, should we go back to Ravnica, you know, in the future? We've had three sets total, four sets if you include War of the Spark, or three blocks, I should say.
I think people like it. I think eventually we'll want to go back there. I'm fine with us staying away for a long time, especially because it's hard to do. You know, you couldn't really do one set on Ravnica. You'd kind of want to do two or three, and, yeah, leave it alone for a little while, and I think everyone will be fine with that.
Maybe another 6 years or something when the next Eternal format comes out.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
All right, I think that's going to bring us into our show. Hopefully you guys enjoy these series. You know, this was kind of the last one. We were putting it off because it's a big and complicated set to go through. I'm sure we missed a few things because we didn't want to touch into every single thing. We already spent a lot of our time here. But appreciate you guys for listening. We enjoy doing these a little bit more off-the-cuff episodes, something that's just a bit of a flavor. And, you know, we appreciate Pioneer that we want to talk about every little aspect of it, and I think this is one bit of it. So if you guys are interested in following us for any kind of Pioneer content, you know, competitive or not, you can follow at MTG Pioneer, the best place to reach us. There you can also find links to our Discord, which is a great way to keep in contact of us, as well as our new episodes are posted there first. So, Ryan?
As far as things I'd like to promote, on my Twitter, you can follow me. YOSCHWENKY. That's Yo Schwenky on Twitter. And, you know, I was talking about wanting to brew that anti-Thoughtseize deck today. And you can do that on my Ryan's channel of Jank in the Discord channel. Definitely come and join me afterwards and, you know, give me some ideas for that. Other than that, yeah, I like you said, I really enjoy these types of exploring the format. Hopefully we got you guys thinking about other possibilities, other cards, other ways to have fun in the Pioneer formats. And even though the Plains of Pioneer is done, we have some cool series hopefully in the works if Kevin gives me the okay in the future, and we look forward to bringing those to you, you know, maybe in the next few months.
Yep, sounds great. All right, guys, that's going to bring us to our show. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. First Pioneers, signing off.